the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing our series on the spiritual battle, in this recording Dave looks into our spiritual weapons. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 6.
So again, we're still in the battle. Westminster Confession said Christian is involved in a continual and irreconcilable war. And that's where we are. We're in a war. As we often say, as C.S. Lewis said, two mistakes we can often make. We believe, don't believe in the devil at all or pay him too much attention. But really, we are looking at our weapons, our ability in the Lord, what he's called us to do. He's called us to war. He's called us to battle. And we'll see that in a moment. And this is, of course, our example is always Jesus. We're always looking to him. He says, follow me. So whatever Jesus did, we're going to follow him. So it's our first verse. Just one verse there from Acts 10:38, where Peter is preaching to centurion.
How God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
So again, there we are, anointing the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus did not move without that. And if Jesus didn't move without that, we certainly shouldn't be. But when he was, what did he do? He went around natural, supernatural, natural, spiritual, social, spiritual, doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Sometimes we can focus on one with the exception of the other, and that's always wrong. We see many churches started off well, but they got to the social gospel, didn't they? They concentrated so much on doing good, they forgot that the ultimate thing is to get people out of the work of the enemy and out of his authority. And then some people have forgotten the other way around. Either way, what is he said, it's in James or Timothy, isn't it? Don't witness to them. If he's poor and he's in there, pat him on the back. Well done, brother. Keep going. Give him something, he said. You know, meet the need. So he did good, and he healed all those oppressed of the devil. He spoke life. He exercised authority over those who were under authority, the enemy. And that's our work. Our work is to get people out of the authority. And we see it, don't we? I was at a funeral today, and there was no talk, no thought, no word of the Lord at all. And everyone's okay. We're going to be up there in the bar in heaven, all around together, thinking, God, have mercy, have mercy. That's the work of the enemy. Lying, deceiving, cheating, and we need, again, that's a battle for us to bind that, release people into truth, isn't it? As we see, truth is our foundation. So there's what we are called to be and do. Ultimately, thankfully, it isn't in our own strength. If it is, we're in trouble because he's far too clever for us and too strong. But with the Lord, bless the Lord, nothing is impossible. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's go into God's word there. Isaiah 41.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Those you search for, your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you.
Lovely words, fantastic words. I will strengthen you, help you, I will uphold you, sustain you, and I will hold you by my righteous right hand, hold your right hand. And that's the promise of the Lord, isn't it? He is our strength. Bless it. And that's why we can be, that's why he said, you're in it, be strong in the Lord. Stand up, take your speed, and make a strong stance. Why? Because Ephesians 1, right back at the beginning of the book, he says, this incomparably great power that raised Christ from the dead is whose? Hours. Lord help us. Sometimes we can go down with our chins down, our head down. No, we are children of the living God. We have the Lord on our side. The Lord is with us. And so we need again to rise up in faith. And that's why in Philippians he says, I can do all things through Christ in me. It really means the context is I can cope with all things. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And sometimes we lose sight of that. Ephesians, Isaiah 40 again, he gives strength to the faint strength to those who are weak. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Trust in the Lord, for the Lord is everlasting strength. Those who wait on the Lord, again, when we talk about binding ourselves like that rope, bind by twisting, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run, not faint, soar like eagles, and not weary, not faint. Bless the Lord. That is the problem. God is our strength. That's why he can tell us to be strong, because he gives us the strength. How about these verses? Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Man, I mean, that's the end of that psalm. We looked at that psalm a couple of times before. That's an amazing psalm. And it's good to read that regularly, because it is the psalmist was drifting, because he'd taken his eyes off the Lord. He was looking around, and he was jealous of those. He's saying, look at these people, they're not following the Lord, that everything's going so well. And of course, we're envious of the world. We think, we focus on what we haven't got, and we sell that self-pity kind of thing. We belittle God's blessing on our lives. And of course, then he said, of course, he was bitter of things that happened to him, and that had just taken him far. But he said, I was bitter, so I became like an animal. I had stupid decisions. Thankfully, what did he say? Then I went to the house of the Lord. And that's why we talk about our weapons, our warfare. Be with the people of God in the house of God is so vital, because what it does, it jolts us back into why we're here. It's eternal, isn't it? We're not here just for time, it's eternity, and people's lives are on the line for eternity. And he said, I realised. And then he comes up with that. Oh, my earth. Well, may just you, Lord. No one. You are my life, my strength, my portion. Hallelujah. So he is all in all for us. So we can be strong. Our inheritance is power of God, presence of God, provision, protection, and all the other P's you can throw in. He is all in all. Well, that's who we are. But let's look that we are called to be warriors and soldiers and 2 Timothy 2.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to party of the crops. Consider that what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding all in all things.
Well, again, he's saying we are in a battle. Of course, he uses those three examples, isn't he? A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, all with those particular qualities and characteristics in the battle, in the war. A soldier, there is absolute obedience, isn't there? There's no room for, well, I'm not sure about that, in a questioning orders. No, you're told, you do, this is the way, absolute obedience, and not getting entangled in civilian affairs. That's a great, the verse 7 says, isn't he? Think about these things. Consider them, and the Lord will show you what I'm talking about. Because what he's doing is think about it. He said, settle. Look at the soldier. He's not interested. He's only interested in serving the commanding officer, not getting involved. And that's a real powerful in our days. We can easily get distracted, get involved in nonsense. And sometimes not even nonsense, good stuff, but not what God wants, because it distracts us. Not involved in civilian affairs. The athlete, well, there's absolute commitment, isn't it? You know, you don't just turn up and say, well, I think I'll win this race. How much training have you done this week? Well, I did a bit on Monday, but I didn't bother Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because I didn't feel like it, did I? Well, we can say, well, that's nonsense. An athlete is there every day exercising, absolutely committed, and if he tries to break the rules, as he says there, he's disqualified. And a farmer, well, a farmer, absolute faithfulness, isn't it? That's what a farmer is. He's faithful. He's there every day, same time, you know. And again, he can't say, well, I don't think I'll bother feeding them animals today. Well, you're in trouble because they won't last too long. And so there's being persevering, focused, to please him, tough, afflictions. You will suffer. You will be afflicted. But press in, press through. Because as we come to the next couple of verses, see, the devil, as we said before, lots of things he wants to do for us. Doubt, of course, discourage us, distract us, deceive us. But this is one we haven't talked about, and we may talk about a little bit tonight, is discredit us. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, how many people have you heard, oh, church is filled with hypocrites? Well, of course, that's many times an excuse, isn't it? But now, we mustn't give them any ammunition because, again, I was listening to, something popped up on my thing, and they said in 1985, the Gallup polls, they did a poll on pastors. How many in America, how many people trust ministers and leaders? 67% said we trust them, yeah. Did a poll just last year. How many do you think?
30.
Less than 27%, gone down 40%. Because the media, of course, the media always, I mean, there are millions of faithful ministers, good ministers, but of course, the media only shows those. But of course, sadly, that shouldn't be, should it? And we've seen, of course, Catholic Church, they tar us with the same brush, but not just Catholic Church, we've seen many. Big in America, especially big churches, not just in America, and in Britain as well, big churches that have fallen, gone into sin, and the devil loves that because it discredits the work of the Lord, isn't it? But he wants us to be strong. We are in a battle, and then that's why we should never take sin lightly. As I talked about that minister last week, fell into adultery. He thought, I'd never do that. Never. That's pride. When pride comes in, we're ready for a fall, aren't we? We just say, Lord, there for the grace of God, go I just trusting, keep me close to you. Here's Joshua, just before you start. You know he's going to have a real battle here, isn't he? What does the Lord say to him as he just goes into battle? Joshua 1, 1 to 9.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert and from Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates and all the Hittite country, and to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you do. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen. That's a great word, isn't it? What a great word for every one of us, isn't it? We just sing it. Be bold, be strong. The Lord thy God is with you. But again, there's principles involved there. It isn't just that. It's a be bold, come with you. Then he said, no, make sure you do your bit as well. Because remember, work out what God's working in. Know God's word. Meditate on God's word. Let it be on your lips. You speak it. So you will not depart, you will not go right nor left. The word of God will be your anchor and your tram rails, if you like. That's where you're going. So, and then he says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. So we can so often be in different things coming across our path. Why? Because he is with us. And so often we forget that, don't we? And we minimize who God is. And as we come into Father's Day, I was just reading some stuff about Father's Day, and we so often forget that if he's Father, dear me, we are safe and secure and strong because of he is. But we must listen to him, haven't we, and go his way. So we can be strong. Bless the Lord. Here's 2 Corinthians 6, 3 to 10.
We put no stumbling block in anybody's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in the sincere in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Though through glory and dishonour, bad reports and good reports, genuine yet regarded as impostors, no yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything.
Bless the Lord. We must never forget that our life, sometimes we got some funny idea about warfare and things, but our life itself, our lifestyle is a weapon. Is a weapon. That's why they said, they can say, give me the reason for your hope, isn't it? Our witness our lifestyle is a weapon against the work of the enemy. That's why the devil came in and said, the Lord said, have you had a look at Job? Have you had a look at Job? His lifestyle was just a testimony of God's greatness, God's goodness. And what does he say? I'm showing your life the wisdom of God that he's put in us, he saved us. He shows it off to the heavenly realms, he says. And and that's why he says we put no stumbling block in anyone's path. No one must ever point the finger and says, because of him or her, I didn't follow the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about made up stuff, but just in our life and our lifestyle, we are to be seen that we are followers of the Lord. And of course, then he says, look, there's this difficulty on the path. And he lifts this 9 difficulties and trials. One's enough, but he lifts 9 and he goes through what he's gone through, isn't he? Imprisonments, beatings, fast hunger, and goodness knows what. But then he goes 9 difficulties, 9 trials. But then he gives 9 qualities. 9 qualities of how he responded. And we just read him: purity, patience, kindness, Holy Spirit, love, the word of God, power of God, the spirit and the word working together, of course. And then he throws in this: the weapons of righteousness in our right and left hand. See, he's ready, isn't he, to the enemy. What's the enemy doing in Corinth? If they were trying to discredit Paul, to discredit his ministry, and that's what they'll do to us as well. They say, oh well, this and that. And especially when we're making inroads, when people are taking note, then you're really going to be in the enemies. You know, if a church is doing nothing, if they're just meeting and not actually evangelizing, the devil isn't going to pay much attention with that. He said, carry on. It's just a religious club. It's not having any effect at all. But when we start really pressing in, praying, evangelizing, then he's going to have a go and to discredit us and use anything, of course, as we've seen right down through history. And we see, remember Daniel, they tried to find something about him, didn't they? They said, right, we'll look at his business dealings, we'll look at his authority, and the Bible said they could find nothing in him at all. So they had to make something up. Right, let's no praying, only to the king. And the king fell for it, didn't he, of course? And then they fell into the lion's pit after Daniel had a sleep with him. Integrity, no hypocrisy, no fault. And if the devil can undermine our character, he'll discredit us. Mm. And of course, Corinth was a classic case of that in DME. He said, what on earth's going on in this church? Yeah. And who knows what was going on altogether, but he said it's better outside than inside, he said. And he said, yeah, what are you doing? He said, people don't, so much so that people outside didn't know the Lord at all because they weren't witnessing. And so we see discredit us. And let's be careful, absolutely upright. Down to the weapons of our warfare in right and left hand, righteousness of God in our lives, really applying even into when it cuts us as well and it hurts. Just talking about fathers, I was just looking at Father's Day and just looking at Eli and his two sons. Yeah. And the Bible, the prophet came and said, Eli, he said, you've honoured your sons more than me. And that's it. Oh, you're thinking, but easily done with family, isn't it? Family can, but he said, you've honoured me and honour God before anybody else. Bless the Lord. Let's cue the truth, because again, remember the buckle of truth, the belt of truth, undergirds is the first and supports everything. Without that foundation, we're in trouble. Ephesians 5:6-13.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Yeah, the fruit of light, he said, didn't he? Watch our life. Darkness, deception, we have nothing to do with. But light shine, and light brings goodness, righteousness, and truth. That pleases the Lord. Of course, everything that the Lord is, of course, we have the Trinity of truth. He's the God of truth. Jesus said, I am truth. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Our message is the gospel of truth, the message of truth. And he says, you, in 2 Timothy 2, later on, we just read it. He said, be a good servant of the Lord that handles the word of truth correctly. It's that word where it's a lovely dissection. The word of God does that sometimes, isn't it? We don't want it to do that. We want a plaster. We certainly don't want the word of God to penetrate and dissect, because when it does, it exposes that which shouldn't be there, disease or illness, and that needs to come out. Painful, but absolutely vital. He said, be a man of God that can handle the word of God correctly, that can do good dissection in one's life. Be no partakers with the work of the enemy. No fellowship, nothing in common. I wonder how much in common we've got with the enemy. I wonder when we think of the church. Oh, I think of, these days we've diluted, haven't we? And we've said, oh, it isn't too bad. I'm under grace, that thinking lie. And misunderstanding grace altogether, which what they say is I can carry on doing this and everything will be okay because grace will cover it. Well, again, that's a distortion, and we can see that in the Bible. Jude was one classic, and we see it won't hurt, it's not too bad, all those kind of things, isn't it? The enemy's lies, give up, take it easy. Enemy comes and says, oh, look at this Christianity, false promises, it isn't fulfilling, nothing in it, throws it all the time. That's why we need the truth of God's word, to combat it, with, of course, the shield of faith and the other things that we look at. How about the truth again? Colossians 3:1-10.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above,
where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator.
Amen. Again, a lifestyle changed. Why? Because Christ is in us, isn't he? And we talked about, last week we talked some verses, put on the armour of light, put on the Christ, sinking into those clothes. But cut off, put off as well, put off that which is of the old man. Put it off and let truth have its way. Now we say, I'll read some verses from Psalm now about the vitalness of truth. But if you remember when, talked about the other day, when at the beginning of the Old Testament with Aaron's two sons, when they didn't, they offered strange fire, they were consumed. That was the start, wasn't it, of the tabernacle. Remember the start of the church, Ananias and Sapphira. Again, we see the shadow and the reality coming out. Ananias and Sapphira, why were they consumed? Why were they struck down? Truth. What about truth? They had lied. That's how vital. See, God has to. The enemy is a liar. Everything he does is lies. So truth is absolute, ultimate. Being true to us, true to ourselves, and as in, not true to ourselves as in live, you know, telling truth to ourselves, applying God's word to ourselves. Truth is vital. And when it comes to the church and when it started, that was the one thing that God says, look, you need this truth. Psalm 89, 11 to 14.
The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Which is that last verse there. Righteousness and justice are the foundation or the basis or the abode of your throne. And chesed, loving kindness, and truth go before you. Project from it. So there's the foundation of his throne, righteousness and justice, and that comes out of the throne, that loving kindness, that stubborn love, that love that is faithful, will not give up, but also truth will proceed from the throne room of God. So we are committed to truth and applying the truth. This was last Sunday in Word for Today, and we talked a bit about strongholds, didn't we? A stronghold is something that we believe is wrong, that's built into our life, that is difficult then to shift because we believe it. It's a lie, it's not true, but of course we could have grown up with it and all those kind of things. It's a high thing, an argument, that it then exalts itself over what God's word says. And then we're in trouble. That's why he said, you've got to take it and smash it. Mm. Smash it. And of course, stronghold is a false premise that denies God's promise. How about some of these? It attempts to magnify the problem and minimize the ability, God's ability to solve it, of course. Do we have a stronghold in our lives? Do we speak the language of impossibility? God could never forgive me. The stronghold of guilt. I could never forgive that person. The stronghold of bitterness. Bad things always happen to me. Stronghold of self-pity. I have to be in charge. The stronghold of pride. I don't deserve to be loved. The stronghold of rejection. I will never recover. The stronghold of defeat. I must be good or God will reject me. The stronghold of performance. I'm only as good as I look. Well, we're in trouble, some of us there. That's the stronghold of appearance. My value equals my possessions.
the stronghold materialism, and you can carry on with lots of strongholds. But what? How do we destroy them? Get hold of God's word, the word, the truth. That's why the basis of everything we are, that one weapon is truth, isn't it? The devil comes and whispers. He tells us half-truths. Of course he does. He tells us we are this, this, and this. And we can say, yes, I am, or was, but now I'm his. I've confessed my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. There's truth. We base. He's our strength. We're in him because of him. We are applying truth vigilantly and sometimes violently. We don't like, but again, we're in warfare, aren't we? And sometimes you've got to really apply God's word. You know, in war, you're up for it. You're ready. You go in. There's anticipation. And you're ready to fight and win a battle. And you take hold of the sword and you wield it. But use this. Didn't do much of this last week about our feet. Our feet prepared with the gospel of peace. Again, Jesus is our example. Let's read that, Ephesians 2.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. No place for laziness or passivity. We are ready to serve, to share, and to show swiftness and sure-footedness of the gospel. Now, I think we talked about last week that he had in mind the Old Testament prophecies and talking about the Jesus and his warfare, but I'm sure again also he had in his mind the Roman soldier. Very interesting about the Roman soldier and his footwear. It wasn't ordinary footwear. In fact, Caesar's army, is the success and the prowess of Caesar's army was because their footwear was not like any other footwear, so they could march further and faster than any other army. So the armies would say they'll never get to us in that particular time because they thought their footwear was like theirs. But no, they were there quicker and they could march longer because of their footwear. It was ready, it was quick and active, and that's he's taking that. Get your feet ready with the gospel. We're sharing, showing the gospel, and that's again a weapon. We're not defensive. We're on the attack, aren't we? We're sharing the gospel. Now the enemy would say to us, Dave, they're not interested. You've told them before. You've invited them before. We've gone to the streets. We've gone to every house. Oh, don't worry about it. That's a lie, isn't it? And we our family, they're not interested, Dave. Well, again, that's we're ready with the gospel. Again, there's times when we got to challenge them and get stuck in them. There's times where we just got to live it and show it, especially in front of people we're living with and working all day. They want to see it, don't they? They want to see the difference. But again, as we are ready with the gospel of peace, we are showing it to them and we are ready to do that. And we are watching and we are alert. Luke 21. 33, 36.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, until that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it did come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
He's telling them, the disciples, to be watchful and prayerful. In fact, they've got, they're intertwined, aren't they? Because when we are prayerful, we are watchful. We're seeing things differently. We're seeing things with how he sees them. We forget to pray, and our eyes are on everything else, and goodness knows what our eyes are on. And he's telling us to be ready and alert. And again, from the peace, he's trying to pray. And sometimes we forget that praying in the Spirit, sometimes us who've been filled with the Spirit and have that initial evidence, pray in tongues. Do not let that die away. Because again, he says, pray in the Spirit, so vital. But be ready, be prepared in the season, out of the season, he said to Timothy. Remind people, he said to Titus, ready to do what's good. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's within us, isn't it? The readiness, that alertness, and the ability, and the continuous to be praying. That's one of our great weapons, isn't it? When the enemy comes, and as we've read a couple of times before, Lord, I don't know what to do, but we're praying to you. Our eyes are on you. We're looking to you. Paul and Silas, Lord, we're in a bit of pain. Yeah, we're going to sing, and we're going to pray, and we're going to praise. Hallelujah. And we'll see where this goes now. It's midnight, and we're keeping everyone else awake, but you're going to suddenly. So the Lord is giving us lovely weapons, great weapons to apply. Here's David to finish off one of his last psalms, I suppose, coming towards the end of his life, and the psalm he sang. And again, David was a warrior. He was the one who turned up to Goliath and said, you come to us, and you uncircumcised Philistine army, but I come to you. What? In my ability? Now, the ability was a natural ability, wouldn't it? But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, God of hosts of Israel. The battle is the Lord's, and I'm going to feed you to the birds. Hallelujah. Confidence in the Lord, wasn't it? It was his ability, but without the Lord touching it and applying and making sure that storm went right in the right place. But he was coming in the name of the Lord, because ultimately God had trained him to be a warrior. And God is training us to be warriors, into spiritual warriors. So here he is, picking that up in 2 Samuel 22.
For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not rise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet.
Amen. Bless the Lord. I am mighty. Train my hand for war. My battle of war. But why? Because you're my God, you're my rock, my fortress, my shield, my refuge. And he throws all those lovely metaphors out. So he understands it's in the Lord. But when we're in him, we are victorious. We are overcome. And there's much to overcome personally in our own lives, of course. But with each other and in our world, which, as the Bible says, is getting worse. But thankfully with him. So the Lord says, put on the full armour. It's interesting, I didn't mention that. It's where we get panoply, that word we use, it's a Greek word, but we use it now, where panoply, the whole, everything. Put the whole armour. Sometimes we can take bits and bobs. No, I think we need it all, don't we? We need righteousness, protecting our heart, truth, faith, helmet of salvation, of course. We talked about that before. Be ready, active, alert, on the march for Him, walking with Him and praying and with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.